When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 7 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order, so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of the series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I felt like when I got out of bed this morning, it's going to be an unusual day. I see a few more of you found out you're free. We're so blessed by the grace of God and the presence of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. In the heavenly places. Right now. In the Lord Jesus. You sound a lot different today. I'm born again. Kept by the power of God. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm born again by the Word of God. I'm complete in Jesus. My sins are nailed to the cross. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus. At the right hand throne of God. My weapons are mighty in God. To tear down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And every thought up here. That exalts itself against the Word of God. And I bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Word of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I take dominion. I rule and reign in the name of Jesus. God is my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I'm a product of His love. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long-suffering. I have goodness. I have gentleness. I have meekness. I have temperance. I have faith. I'm not under law. I'm not under law. I'm not in works. I'm under grace. I'm free in the name of Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm strengthened in all power by the might of the Lord. We learn a lot about the Lord and His precious word, aren't we? It's kind of worth being talked about, isn't it? Huh? Boy, I'm telling you what. He who keeps his mind on me, I'll keep in perfect peace. That's how you take every thought captive, isn't it? What really matters is what God's saying, what God's doing. Now, that matters. What he thinks. You know what brokenness is? Brokenness is when you come to a place that you're more concerned about what God thinks than what folks think. I pray to God you'll leave here a free person. Now, you can be. We just haven't found out about it. We just learned about it. We're free. Liberty and freedom. Boy, praise Jesus. Isn't he? Isn't he something? I'm seated in the heavenly places. I rule and reign in the name of Jesus. All things are under the feet of Jesus. He's been given to be the head of all things. To the church. The body. Which is us. The fullness of Him. That filleth all in all. All the works of darkness are under our feet in Jesus' name. He's disarmed them. He made a public display of them. And now in the name of Jesus, from a throne of grace, I receive the word and the blood. I remove all oppression from me and this building in Jesus' name. All heaviness is removed in Jesus' name. I remove all the works of tiredness and fatigue in Jesus' name right now. I'm strengthened in all power by the might of the Lord from the throne of God. I now receive strength. Strength is flowing through me now. I remove all the works of unbelief, doubt, traditions, legalism, distractions. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the word and the blood, all sleepiness, I remove in Jesus' name. All the works of pain right now and aches are removed in, and headaches right now in Jesus' name are removed. Got a mouthful. You did good. The Lord did better. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind up all the words spoken against this seminar. Against me, I remove these word curses. In the name of Jesus, and all the works of darkness that's been assigned to be a hindrance to this meeting, and to me, and Milt, in the name of Jesus, are removed in Jesus' name. And now from the throne of grace, I receive grace, love, joy, blessings, healing, and deliverance. And in the name of Jesus, I speak peace. Jesus, come up here just a minute, will you please? Come up here. He's a little surprised, you know. Quite a few people. You come up here. You know something? You talk about, I find out that it's a lot easier sometimes for, that I see things happening a lot more when you get in another country than you do when we actually see things around here the Lord do. And you'll see it just such a humble, and just the gift of love. And that mind just totally stays on the Lord all the time. And it just frees the Lord to just do things when he gets around these kind of people. And you've got a few hundred people around. It's just, just like a child. They don't already know it all. They hadn't got it all figured out. And that's the kind of atmosphere like Brother Jesse's right here. And, you know, when in India, you know, if you're just real close friends, you know, you can just walk around holding hands. And I just found myself, I'm telling you what, the Lord just did something. That Now, I want you to know he really means business. Now, I learned the last time when I was there in 76 and I was in this room, I learned this time on the trip over there that they killed a king cobra in that room before, a week before I got there. And then this morning he tells me, now, for 4 years before you come there in this place, they have killed 9 of them. I said, but we didn't want to disturb your sleep. So about 8 years later, I found out about it. But I want to tell you something. The family of God, you just can see and know. And I was just thinking about something. There were 27 of us over there, and there was a particular song that we kind of got involved in that we learned over there. And I think we just ought to do it here. I think you'll just be specially blessed by it. And now let me just share it. You can understand my accent a little better probably than you can Jesus here. You know, he's an English teacher. He teaches in the high school. Just boy loved Jesus. And here it starts out, I'm happy today since Jesus has taken my sins away. And the next thing, I'm praying today. And you do like this, I'm praying today. And then I'm reading today. And then I'm praying today. Now, that may not sound like too much. You wait, you get into it. I'm praising today. And the last part is I'm dancing today. Now, if there's anyone here spying out my freedom, I want you to close your eyes when we come to dancing part. So, we need a mic here, don't we? Oh, yeah, right there it is, Jesus. Go ahead there. And you just go ahead and just lead us in that song. You want to? I'm happy to. Yeah, you say a few words. Well, sure you do. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Are you all happy today? Yes, praise the Lord. I bring greetings from all the saints of India. You see, we love you all in Jesus' name. Jesus has brought me over here to be discipled in the word of God. See, so I love your country. I love you all in Jesus' name. So, Jesus is the only Savior in the world, the hope of humanity, who can give joy, peace, and healing. Do you all agree? Yes. So we are all happy today in Jesus' name. So I am going to sing a song, I Am Happy Today.
You sing one verse first, yes.
Okay. I'll sing first, and then you can easily follow, because you are all expert in singing, isn't it? Yeah. I am happy today, I am happy today in Jesus Christ. I am happy today. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I am praying today in Jesus Christ. I am praying today. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praying today.
Get into it.
I am reading today in Jesus Christ. I am reading today. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm reading today. I am praising today. In Jesus Christ, I am praising today. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm praising today. I am clapping today. In Jesus Christ, I am happy today. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I am dancing today in Jesus Christ. I am dancing today. He has taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm dancing today.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
brother.
Thank you.
I love you, Jesus. Well, amen.
Glory to Jesus one.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, go ahead, brother. Are they? Okay. All right, thank you, Jesus. We just might have to do that again. They learn fast. What you miss is see about 27 people in a room, and someone just got free, and the Lord had just healed them or something, and then just see them there. And Philip, the pastor we used to have to lead the song, we'd get him up, and we just throw a fit there for a little while. It's all right. There wasn't no one there to accuse us, and so we did, and we just really enjoy it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've called us into liberty and freedom. Lord, I thank you that I'm free, that we're free from intimidation, fear. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we're free from what folks think, that our eyes are fixed on you, Lord. And now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the freedom that you've given us in the Spirit of God. I thank you that we always triumph in your name, and now, Lord Jesus, we boast in the victory at Calvary. And we just know we don't know one another after the flesh, but we know one another just Jesus crucified, because everything is you and there's nothing of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we just come to receive your word. We boast in your understanding. We boast in you. We boast in your word. We boast in your spirit. We boast in your grace. And we just thank it in Christ Jesus that we are more than conquerors, that we take dominion, that we always triumph in your name. And now, in the name of Jesus, we receive your word. And we received, and the word performed this work in them. And now, Lord, I just pray that this day, in your word, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, to your glory, that you would move through as you heal, deliver, and set free. And I thank you for your holy presence. And in the name of Jesus, I agree as we just speak blessings, peace, grace, love, healing, deliverance, in Jesus' name. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Would you rest well? The presence and peace and grace of God. Well, I want you to know something. I can already tell you something. He's here. And that's what makes a difference. That's what our focus is, isn't it? The Lord Jesus, His grace and Word. Well, folks, we got a little into the spirit and the flesh and how the powers of darkness operate in this. And I hope it began to give you some freedom, but today is going to be a most unusual day. And I want to say something to the shepherds right now. There's just so much responsibility and everything on the shepherd today. And I think more of attack comes on the shepherd than it does anyone today. The enemy. And he particularly attacks with fear and intimidation. And Brother Shepherd, if when you start seeing some things in this Word and you start trying to figure out how to line them up in some of the traditions that we've been programmed for, let me just tell you, when you start letting your mind try to fit it in the box, then the enemy will intimidate you. Whatever teaching you're gathered around and whatever that, they're going to try to put intimidation. And they'll fill your mind full of all kind of thoughts that'll just not work. Can't work. And the enemy will try to put the responsibility on you to make it work. And that fear and intimidation, and I see one shepherd after another that, no, particularly maybe after the second day, they go home and they be attacked in their sleep. Waking up in the night. And there it is, try to get you to work all this out. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is the one that works all things out. Why don't you just get out from under the law and get under grace? He's the one that has to work it out. Now, what we have to do is proclaim the Word. We say what God says, and the Lord's building a church. He'll do it His way.
And you'll always know that he's doing it right because you'll see it right there in the Word the way he's going to do it. And so it's been it's been more difficult probably for you, Shepherd, over the years than you even probably comprehend now, or I even comprehend. And I want to tell you that I just want to speak peace and love to you. And, boy, I tell you what, I love you. And I tell you what, as the Lord's Spirit and as He does the thing that He's doing and support. Because of the traditions, Brother Pastor, to a large extent has taught you not to have to trust God. You've been taught in many ways that you don't have to trust God. Because traditions get you to trust in so many other things. And that you don't have to trust Him. And then when you come to a place where you're confronted with it, well, then the enemy wants to bring these things that you've been taught to trust and bring them with fear and intimidation to get you. Now, I want to tell you, it works. Well, we'll put it totally on the Lord. I want you to know that what's happening, what we're sharing here in the Word, is totally up to the Lord. Total trust in the Lord. That's the rest. That's the rest that He's called us in. We don't know what He's doing or how He's doing it. I just got a part. You've got a part. All of us got a part. Our brother pastor, you've got a church in a church. Now, you know, I mentioned this thing. I'll say it again. That when Billy Graham was talking about 75% of the church lost, and most anyone that'll travel any evangelist goes, he'll see the lostness in it. Now, what we're saying in our hearts before God, when someone wants to come and take this Bible right here and deal with this lostness, let's kill him. Let's stone him. He's going to split us off from these devils, the 75% of these devils. It sounds like to me a church is already split, doesn't it? Are lost folks in the body of Christ, folks? You know, the only thing that does is exposes the foundation of numbers and good reports instead of righteousness. I'll set you free, Pastor. You won't be run off no more. Only the sheep can hear the Word. Only the sheep will follow you. Now, I want to tell you something. There's nothing that man has set up and created more important than this Word of God. And if you can ever read and get anything out of there besides one church. And this church can hear the Word. This church right here at heart is turned totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. This church wants to bring all the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no jealousy and ambition, and there is no, are you ready, politics in it. Get free from folks. God must doesn't have much confidence in folks. Just His Spirit working through them is what He has confidence in them. That's why, once again, He said, all mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. Isn't that right? Now, let's stop and look at something. Let me say it again. If you fell down, get back up again. That's what Jeremiah said. If you fell down, get up. Call it what God calls it. Why, what does a church produce? This church and His Word produces righteousness and holiness. It has discernment. Discernment's not hid from them. This church right here overcomes the world and the flesh and the devil. This church right here produces in the temples love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temper, faith. You can't produce that in the devil sitting in a church building. You can't produce that in a tire that won't repent. And so what we've done is tell the stubborn and stiff neck on Sunday morning how righteous he is. Because he's part of our group. You know what that is? That's teaching the security of the unbeliever. What do we produce? Works? Or the fruit of the Spirit? And let's just ask herself, where is God in all this we've been doing? What is he doing? We'll see where this numbers foundation comes from, all this counting. That's not to count. We had to count here to to know how many to set up, to know how many is coming in, and so forth like that. But there's a different counting than letting your heart go to the thing. Our heart goes to the grace of God that chose you to bring you here. Our heart goes to him that we can fellowship together. My heart goes to the Lord because I've got a part. You've got a part. Your part's just as important as my part. I'm telling you, it's Jesus and neither one of us. So what do we got to boast about? Right? Turn to Romans 8, please. The Pharisees had some tradition set up, didn't they? Few. When his disciples and Jesus and John the Baptist started touching these gold calves, the scribes started writing, didn't they? And the Pharisees started yelling, particularly the chief priests, preachers. The responsibility is not on the chief preachers. The responsibility is on the Lord. And that is the rest. Oh, there is a responsibility, but you know what I'm saying there. Now, in Romans 8, verse 2, I read this yesterday, I want to see it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now, the law of sin and the lust of the flesh, you're set free. You're under grace. You don't have to obey the lust of the flesh. You're free from it. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you died with him at Calvary. You don't have to be a slave to it unless your heart, that's where your heart is. And you put yourself under law when that's where you live for the lust of flesh. Now, verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. If you're walking according to the flesh, you've not died to the flesh. Is that correct? So the law is not fulfilled in you if you're not dying to the flesh. But it's being fulfilled in the ones who are walking, there it is, according to the Spirit. Now you're led by the Spirit of God. And that frees you. And you always know that the Spirit of God is going to lead you right here in what this Bible says right here. He wrote this law on your heart. How did he write this law on your heart? When the Spirit of God joined your spirit right there, he knows the whole Bible. He's got it right there for you. What you need in any situation. So you'll always know, if that's where your heart is, what to do. Now, I want you to turn back to Romans 7. And I want you to look at me here right now. A person in his heart, let's forget about whether denomination or what we label a church member or whatever like that he is. I'm going to tell you what. If his heart right here, that's this inner man, lives for you're married to this when your heart lives for the lust of the flesh, that's what you're married to. You are married to that old man. You hear me? You're married to this thing. I mean, you're joined together. Your heart is joined together to your flesh. And I want to tell you, you are under the law if that's where your heart is. You're not under grace. Now, you might have said some word and gone through some form of godliness or whatever. So it's a person's heart, it goes to the lust of flesh, is not being led by the Spirit of God. Now, that's just plain and simple. Now, I want to show you, we're going to look at an adulteress right here in Romans 7. Verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Now, let me just put it. As long as you live in the flesh, this law, you're going to answer to everything in it and judgment. I mean, you're under it. You hear me? And if you're in the flesh, you're before God, you're obligated to obey every last word of it if you're going to do it without the Lord Jesus Christ, without grace. And you can't do it, of course. You can't even obey the Ten Commandments. Now, verse 2. For the married woman is bound by the law, and that's when you like what God wants to talk about. When you're married to the flesh, you're bound by the law to her husband. You're bound to the flesh. Now, the husband right here in this situation is the old man. You're under the law. You're bound to the law. You're not out from under it until you died the flesh and freed led by the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to see this. She's bound to her husband, the old man, while he is living. Now, while he is living out there means he hasn't died or dying. Are you hearing me? All right, let's go on. But if her husband dies, look at it. I'm stopping. Don't go too fast. If the old man dies, that's what he's saying, she is released from the what? Because when you die to this, you're under the Spirit. And you release my law. You're not under the law. Amen. You're released from a law concerning the husband. Amen. This old man dies, you're kind of free to get you another husband, aren't you? Huh? All right, let's go on in 3. So then, if while her husband is living, that means the flesh hasn't died, the flesh is not being put to death. Sons of God do put the flesh to death. Is that right? That's what they're doing. So then, while her husband is living, she is joined to another man. Now look at me right here. Let's just stop there. While the husband is living, that means while this old man is still alive, what he's fixing to say, and you're going to be joined to Jesus, you're going to get you another husband, then, you know, that's like having you two husbands. They're supposed to die. She is joined to another man. She is called a what? Is that plain? Try to fit that in a box. Let's go back and read that again. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband is living, that means this is alive right there. If this is alive right there, you know what that proves? That's where your heart is. Because the Lord has made a provision to put it to death. Is that correct? You choose with your will that this is going to live, because that's where your heart is. Of course, people who have a form of godliness are not interested in dying that. They don't know. They don't even resist the devil. It comes to stir it up. Ignore him. See, we did see over in 1 Peter 5 that the faithful is resisting the devil and suffering and dying the flesh. Is that correct? Shake your head. So then, if while her husband is living, that's the old man, she is joined to another man, you're going to find out that this is Jesus, she shall be called adulteress. But if her husband dies, now this flesh right here has people under the law. I mean, when you're under sin, I mean, you're free from sin. And I'm telling you what, if you do happen to sin, and single sin, I'm not talking about practicing sin, I mean, the Lord has made a provision at Calvary that where we can call dirt, dirt, and we can get back under grace. We're not under law. And that's what a repentant heart is. It calls things what God calls it. It's agreeing with Him. But if her husband dies, that means a flesh, she is what? You're free from law. You're not under this law. You're not under works. I mean, you're in liberty and freedom. You're under grace. You know why you help tell the devil when he comes with guilt and condemnation? Devil? Why he comes to attack your body? I'll not receive it. I'm under grace. And you're attacking a dead body. That's where you walk, and that's where you say. And you, it's no works. It's, I mean, you don't have to get a running start or anything. Just agree with God and get in on it. Folks, we're just fixing to enter in some things. We're on the threshold right now. of grace. God's moving us into a place where we get our eyes off of folks. Start giving Him all the glory, all the praise. That tears up systems. It's been getting glory, folks. It's been getting glory. Don't like this. I tell you what's stopping it. It's like, you ever get in front of a freight train and tell it to stop? But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not a what? Now, I don't want to go too fast. I want you to just meditate on this. Look here, what it's saying. If her husband dies, you know, this is why it's called the old man. That's the old man. That's where your heart lives, the old man. No lust there. This garden. So if her husband dies, that means there's only way that can die. That's in Christ Jesus. You know that, don't you? Now, a lot of people want to do this without the grace, and it just don't work. It won't work. But if you die, if this old man dies, then you're free from the law. That means you're not under the law, so that you're not an adulteress. Now, is that pretty plain? That's not double-minded exactly, is it? Oh, that sink in a little bit. It's right there in your Bible. Though she is joined to another man, and who do you think that man is? The other man is Jesus. You're not an adulteress because you've died to this. I think I'm hearing a little harlot ring, seeing what a harlot is. You know what a harlot is? That's a pretender, one who pretends obedience to the Lord. A form of godliness. That's a harlot. Don't try to fit this in the boxes. It won't work. You won't see what the Bible's saying if something up here is trying to probe it and trying to fit it in a box. It won't go. Now, therefore, verse 4, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. Die to the flesh through the body of Christ. You're not going to be under the law because you're going to die to the flesh. That you might be joined to another. Now, you're going to die to the flesh. You're going to get out from under the law. That you be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And then what happens? Look at me. Look at me here. Three more need to look. Now, look at me. I'm going along, and what is my fruit in my life before I come to the Lord Jesus Christ? My fruit is a covenant with Satan, right? Here's my walk. That's my deeds back here. It's walking. The fruit, it comes all of me. It's Satan. I come to the Lord. I see the light. I'm in agreement with Him in my heart, so I repent. Lord, I change directions in my heart. I break covenant with you, Satan, the lust of the flesh. And now, instead of being led to the lust of the flesh, which I was a puppet of the powers of darkness when I'm led there, a puppet, a slave, a captive, a prisoner, I now receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. He and I are joined together, and the two become one. I have a new identity, and I have a new walk. Putting this to death, I've got a hedge around me. I walk in peace. And if you notice that what I want to do, the Lord wants me to die to this. Now, let me ask you something. Why do I have to die to this? Look at me. I die to this so I can bear fruit for God instead of Satan, right? Because when I walk after this, I'm bearing the lust of flesh. I'm bearing fruit for Satan. Is that right? Now, this is brought about by the grace and the power of the cross to put this to death. This has to be put to death so that I can bear fruit for God, which means that is being conformed to the image and likeness of God, and that's what covenant is, to bring us from the image and likeness of Satan, where Adam, where we were cursed and placed by Adam, to move into Jesus, to become in the image and likeness of God. That's what the last Adam come
what the first Adam put us in this place. The last Adam come here to covenant to bring us out of back in the image and likeness of God. Now, form of godliness wants to do it a different way. A form of godliness won't turn this loose. Because in this thing, the form of godliness has to be somebody that has to share the glory. This wants some of the glory. This needs some of the attention to help God out. Let's read that verse again. I'm not going to run through this too fast. 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, has died to the flesh, so you'll not be under the law, that you might be joined to another. Now, that's being joined to Jesus, to him. Now, you're made to die to the flesh, who was raised from the dead. You're dying to the flesh, you're joined to Jesus. There it is right there. That we might bear fruit for who? Now, is that plain? That's not real complicated, is it? Now let's go on. For while we were, circle were there about 3 times. So when you come back and read these things again, you'll see you were in the flesh, which means you not in the flesh no more are obeying the lust of the flesh. Amen. And for some reason in your learning process, if you do, you repent. And you're not on the law in that area of your life. Because when you get under the law in an area in your life, that is when the powers of darkness, the hedge is down for them to attack you. And to war against your spirit. War against your soul, which is mind, will, and emotion. Amen? So they can war in that particular area where you want to get under the law. When you want to get under the law, that means you don't want to give up that area of your life, your old lust flesh. Now, but you were in the flesh. You were married to the old man in the sinful what? I can't hear you. Well, what does that mean? That means fruit for the devil, right? Sinful passions, which were what we read over in Galatians 5, that those who belong to Christ Jesus have died to the flesh with its passions and desires. Is that what your Bible said? I told you the refrigerator verse, remember? 24. Though you were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of your body to bear fruit for what? When your heart and when you're living after the lust of the flesh, you're bearing fruit for death. You're going to know them by the what? You're going to know them by the fruit. I'll tell you what, this fruit business is going to get a lot more interesting, isn't it? You look at the fruit, you can tell what's in the heart. You understand that? If you look at the fruit, you can see who they're listening to. You know where they're coming from. Let me tell you something. There's one thing Satan can't counterfeit, and that's love. He can't counterfeit it at all. Or he can get, in our flesh, we're going to love somebody into something. You know, instead of letting the Spirit of God and by the Word. No, God, just hold off, Holy Ghost. Just hold back here. We're going to do it right here. We're just going to love somebody into something. We're not going to do this. Listen, we're going to put some of this human compassion on them right here. You know, somebody's just fixing to sit in lecture has a little human compassion, don't they? What's that got to do with the Spirit of God? That's works. Now, that's bearing fruit for death. Verse 6. But now we... please circle now and shout. But now we have been released from the law, not the law, but we have what? Circle, say it again. You have died. Circle died. You've died to that which you were bound. And the reason you know you've died to it, I don't see any of it coming out of you. A form of godliness is say you died and it says and go on doing it. You've died to that which we were bound, so that now
We serve in the newness. Please underline that. The newness of what? I mean, we've changed direction. We serve in the newness of the Spirit. And not in oldness of the letter, not in the law. Breathe. Liberty and freedom. Liberty and freedom. And you know what? Really the exciting thing of all that the Lord and His Spirit is today is doing, the revelation of all of it, that everything right here points to grace. And it takes the responsibility off of us to be anything but in grace and getting in on it, which is the rest, which is the Sabbath, which we're called into in Hebrews 3 and 4. We're called into rest because this grace reveals to us it never was us. It's all Him. And that's a process that we're learning more and more. It's just all Him. It's all Him. I mean, it's all God. And He's simply saying, get in on it. Don't start building your tower into heaven like He did at Babel. You know, Babel means Babel, 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 Babel words. You know, they took brick and used tar for mortar. In Genesis, that's the first one. And they come up and say, God, we're coming to heaven. You're obligated to receive us the way we want to come. Well, that's the interesting thing happened to them. They all began speaking a different language, didn't they? You know, somehow that reminds me of today a lot. A little confusion. Isn't it a little confusion that everybody is going to heaven, they all speaking a different language? I'm telling you, folks, you better open your spiritual ears. The Lord's leading you away you've never been before. If you can't hear the Word, you can't be led to the Spirit of God. You might turn into a scorner. You know what a scoffer is? A scoffer is someone whose heart leads here. They've always come against the Spirit and the work of the Lord. Can't help it. You're driven. They're hostile. Hostile to the Word of God. That's a scoffer and a scorner. He's the one that always wants his flesh blessed. That is a scoffer and scorner. I'll show it to you later. All right, now. So it's natural. See, when somebody says, it's just my nature to do this. It's my nature. It's my nature to be like Satan. It's all right. Sure, that's a form of godliness. That is a form of godliness. That's not godliness. That is the mystery of iniquity. That is not the mystery of godliness. I say, so we just want to say, God just made me that way. He made you, you're beautifully made in your body, but you've got the nature of the devil, and you're in covenant with Satan in your heart because that's where your heart is married to, and you're a puppet when you live for the lust of flesh. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap to the flesh, and you reap corruption. But we see in 2 Peter 1 that through these precious promises to be in Christ Jesus, that we've died to Christ, that we're freed from the law, that we're freed from this old man, and now we've taken on a new nature, which is a divine nature. And this divine nature, let me tell you, this divine nature that we walk in, your deeds are in the image and likeness of God. All things have passed away. All things have become new. That's the reason the Lord said, you now overcome in this new walk. Let me get back over. I want to be walking the same direction. In this new walk, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Overcome everything. The world, the flesh, and the devil, everything. The flesh, I overcome because of the victory at Calvary, which is the blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony and my faith is what God says. I don't lean to what I see, smell, taste, hear, and feel. He said it. That's where I'm standing. I'm standing on the foundation of the word. The rock! overcome the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and love not my flesh anymore unto death. That's the way overcome. But if I don't die to this flesh, and if I'm going to love this, that means the door is still open for the powers of darkness to get to me. Which means my heart loves for the gods of this world, who are the powers of darkness, I love the ministry of them to come and minister to my flesh more than I do God to come to minister. And that pulls a hedge down. This is what puts you on the law. Do you see that? When you get on the law in the area of your life, here they come. The floodgates open. And until you repent, till you turn from it, till you cover this with the blood, they've got a breach in your life. Now let me show you one other thing. Let me just do this one. What are you talking about in Christ? Later on we'll see in 1 John 2, being in Christ is obeying the commandments of God. Obeying God. It says over and over, to be a doer of the word, to do the will of God, do the will of God, do the will of God, do the will of God. You're not to obey the lust, but do the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. Amen? Well, I hear it's a peace walk. Does it say it's a peace walk? All right, when you're in Christ Jesus, what are you in Christ Jesus? You have repented. Now, if you miss this, you're going to miss a bunch. Let me take my glasses off so I can see you. When I repent, the Lord shows me of all the sins. I repent and turn from Him in my heart. I'm living. I've denied my flesh. I've taken up my cross. I'm following after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said you have to do when you come after me. He said, whoever loves this carton is going to lose it. Whoever loves this life is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life, carton, die to it, for my sake and the gospel, is the one who's going to save it. See, there's a little difference in a sermonette that tells all the things a disciple's supposed to be and do, and then kind of wind it up and just one thing. Now, after you finish all this, now God knows we can't do that. But He just wants you to be willing to. That has a big ring of hell in it. That has a ring of hell in it. I don't hear the ring of grace in that. I hear the ring that God can't keep us and He can't empower us. Now, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I've repented, see, and I've repented. I've turned from all these things. And everything the Lord showed, I'm broken, sorry, I repent, I changed, I cried out, sorry. Repentance. I didn't change direction up here. I changed right here in my heart. And so, when I did it, you ever see anybody broken? Crying out the Lord? You ever notice what peace is all over them when they just stayed down there and just cried the Lord? Hey, they come up and Jesus is all over them. You know what that is? Peace. And there, you know how that peace is there? Maybe one of those angels, mighty in strength, says, demons, move out. And shut up! And then all of a sudden, here he is. Where all these pressures of the world was coming against him and the powers of darkness. All of a sudden, he's in Jesus. And all those pressures are hitting Jesus. They're all hitting him. And he's just in there, just peace and just so much fun. The walls are coming down. The ceiling's falling in. Table for you in the midst of your enemies. In other words, sit down and eat. Have some bread. Peace. And then comes Mr. Unforgiveness over there. Bob, I'm glad you're still sitting there, brother. And he shoots one of those flaming missiles in there. They you know, just a missile. They just shoot it in there. And he said, you know, Bob shouldn't have done that to you. But I say, shut up! Shut up, devil! Ain't coming out! Ain't coming out, lust! Ain't coming out, lust! Ain't coming out, jealousy! Here comes envy. Ain't coming out, envy. And you know when I come out? I get my... And then that's where they get the ground to war against your mind, will, and emotions. Now, is that plain? Don't you just get in Christ, doing the will of God. If you ever wonder what His will is, you can always know His Word is His will. And His Spirit will never lead you anywhere except in His Word. And just don't come out. But if someone comes, a scoffer comes along, ain't coming out, Mr. Scoffer! Ain't coming out, scorner! You remember over Nehemiah and Ezra when they built the wall? You know the wall's getting being built today? You know what that wall is? The glory of Jesus. And you know how they scoffed at him as he built the wall? They mocked him and scorned them. Made fun of them. Who do you think uses folks like that? That's the power of the darkness. The wall's being built. The wall's being built. It's being built because God decided for it to be built. Now, let me ask you something. Who's going to stop it? Man. Who's going to get you? Fear not. Who's going to get you? Hey, this liberty and freedom's good. Who's going to get you? Don't receive. That's a real simple thing. If you got God, God always showed you to do. You don't have to get under any fear or any pressure anymore. You just don't have to do nothing until you hear it from God. Because, see, the body of Christ is held together by truth, not fear, not guilt, not intimidation. You're called in liberty and freedom. And when you're under that stuff, you've moved on the law no matter where you received it. You're moving on the law in the areas of your life, which you're moving in the flesh of lust, but repent! Now, it's a natural thing for a man to act like a devil, isn't it? Isn't that natural? Let's talk something about nature. It's natural to take advantage of all opportunities. It's just natural. It's just natural for a man to put himself first. It's just nature. Satan. It's natural to make a name for yourself. See, what's the world system teach you? Control. Success. Selfish ambition. I, me, my. Get all you can. Can all you can get. Get to the top. Step to the whole bunch. Make a name for yourself! Now, it's a natural thing for a man to act like a devil, isn't it? Isn't that natural? Let's talk something about nature. It's natural to take advantage of all opportunities. It's just natural. It's just natural for a man to put himself first. It's just nature. Satan. It's natural to make a name for yourself. See, what's the world system teach you? Control. Success. Selfish ambition. I, me, my. Get all you can. Can all you can get. Get to the top. Step to the whole bunch. Make a name for yourself! That's the opposite of making a name for Jesus. Make a name for your curtain! And so when you make a name for yourself, you can walk about this high off the floor in your pride. And the Lord said, whoever exalts himself, I'm going to humble him. All the Lord does is just say, sick him. And then, you know, it's up here today. But something begins working like a moth fading away. Moth fading away. It's kind of like rottenness. That's what the curse is. That's what a demon does. Just slow deterioration. And all this pride Do you ever see these little glamour stars, you know, all their beauty and glory shining, and then see them later on in the Inquirer? They have them sometimes on the front page. They found out they wasn't a star after all. They were. But then that deterioration comes in, and the next thing you know, they've slowed to the flesh and they've reaped corruption, and just God just has a lot of time, seems like, and this don't have a lot to be proud of. But on the other hand, God says if you'll humble yourself, if you'll humble yourself, God resists the proud and gives grace to who? Humble yourself. Then I'm going to make a name for you. I'll exalt you. Now, who do you think it is that talks to you when you're something comes about going down the altar and kind of getting on your face? And you're just all set to go and you start getting your feet and here it comes. Here they are. Boy, I'm telling you what, there goes your image. There goes your reputation. People are going to see all these things wrong with you. And then finally you just might build up enough courage to just humble yourself before God Almighty or to praise Him. Of course, that's what you kind of meet for anyway. Supposed to. And you finally come down and get an interesting thing that your mind just stays full of what people think. So you don't even get to talk to Him a lot of times anyway. Because the demon's talking to you and you're listening. Oh, they do get through the same place. As a matter of fact, there's just a bunch of them in here right now. They're not doing too much right now because the grace of God has them all bound. And if He didn't do it, I'm telling you, this thing would be a disaster. All right, natural things of the flesh, they're promoted by demons, and they go against God's word. I want you to turn to James 3, please. James 3. James 3. All right, now, have you ever wondered, let's just say that a person, I want you to look at me just a second, is living after the lust of his flesh. That's where his heart is. And then he moves into a church or congregation situation. And in his heart, he's somebody. See, because the word plans you, you don't even know one another after the flesh in the church of God, do you? Is that what your Bible says? If you died to the carnal, what makes anybody anything? If you're dead to it, why are we looking up at cartons if cartons dead? What makes a dead carton anything? It's supposed to be dead, isn't it? And dying? So what's man? But let's just say if you got some cartons that don't want to die, but they want to move, you know, they feel a little religious. And they move in, and in their heart is selfish ambition. That's, you know, I'm something I can, I'm a little, God's blessed me a little more intellect, and He has lots of, so I can help God out. I'm just smarter. And so that jealous in, he wants to get the top. He's the one that ought to be running things for God. And so you see him right there, and let's see what happened, because that's what we used to a lot in James 3, verse 14. But it says, if you have bitter jealousy, that jealousy in your heart, jealousy means I, me, my, and selfish ambition. I think the word said, who's going to be first is going to be last. Whoever wished to be first should be last, sound of something like that. Who's going to be the least to be the greatest. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, if that's in your heart, do not be proud, arrogant, and lie against this word right here. Don't be proud and arrogant and lie against this word. Because, watch very closely, this wisdom, this kind of wisdom, is not. Now, this is a kind of wisdom. It's selfish ambition. It's wisdom. But it's not that which comes down from above. This kind of wisdom don't come from God. But where does this wisdom come? But it's earthly, natural, and demonic. You know what the word earthly means? World! Natural means the natural senses, which is flesh. Now, let's just say it's what it really is. But this kind of wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but here it comes. You ready? But it's worldly, flesh, and it's all stirred up by the demonic. Is that plain? I mean, it's right there, isn't it? Hath God really said? Yes, sir, right there in verse 15. Now, let me ask you something. I want you to look at me. When you're in a congregation and your heart goes to the lust of the flesh and not in the lust of the flesh, how can Jesus ever penetrate that? Because hearts are there busy making a name and seeking position and selfish ambition and all these kind of things to make a name for themselves, get glory for themselves. How can Jesus get glory there? That is the ministry of Satan and his demon, the powers of darkness. That is the world system he set up, which he moves into a church. That is the system of where the flesh is. That is the world, the wisdom of the world and the flesh and the demonic. All three of them. Do you see that? Shake your head. So when you get into a situation like that, that we only know too well, here's what you can expect. Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition, that's I, me, my, the lust of the flesh exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. Is that plain? Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. I'm just going to add this. Peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy. And what kind of fruits? Boy, when the wisdom is coming from above, it's good fruits. Unwavering, without hypocrisy, not saying one thing and walk another. The seed whose fruit is righteous is sown in peace by the ones who make peace. Now, I want you to hold your place right there. And I want you to turn back and look with me in John 15, please. Just a minute, I want to show you something. John 15, please. Hold your place and turn back to John 15. We know all of John 15 is talking about the branch and they can't bear fruit apart from the Lord. In other words, that means Jesus has to be in you and the Word has to be abiding in you, the Word working in you. But I just want to pick out one verse there. Now, let me ask you something. I want to ask you something. I'm going to ask you something in a minute. Okay. Now, when you're walking in obedience to the Lord, and when you're walking in Christ, when you're doing the will of God and obey a commandment and putting death lust the putting to death the flesh, which Romans 8 clearly says your sons of God are doing. Is that correct? Is that right? You know what that means when you have this kind of walk, you're bearing fruit for the Lord. You know what that means? You are walking in covenant. You're obeying. You're doing your part of covenant. Amen? Is that what it means? Wait, the only way you can bear fruit is walking covenant. Is that correct? And when you're walking in covenant, that's what you take an oath to do when you come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You take an oath, a covenant that says, I will if you will. What do you mean Jesus Christ is Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what Satan says? Now, walking in covenant of being led by the Spirit of God, which is in obedience to the Word of God, you're not under the law, but that is covenant. And I'm going to tell you what, when you walk in obedience to the Word, when you're led by the Spirit of God, you are bearing fruit for God. And when you ever see you're bearing fruit for God, that means you're walking in covenant. Amen? Oh, now look very closely at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I what? I don't think the Lord's going to choose a bunch of devils, do you? He chooses people whose hearts turn toward him. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and what? Bear fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain, that you continue to bear fruit. And here, that means you're walking in covenant as we bear fruit. Isn't that right? Now let me show you how you get your prayers answered. The next part. And whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Right now, look at me. See, if you're dying to the lust of the flesh, then the fruit of God, you're bearing fruit of God. And I'm telling you that you go before God, and He said, whatever you ask in my name, you're going to get it. You want that sick person healed? But see, now let's see if our ancestors kind of had a form of godliness. And they were not bearing fruit, but they's busy helping God out. And then they come up and anoint with someone with oil, and they die. And they just keep dying. Because the Bible, this over, said they would be restored. It didn't say maybe or perhaps or when it got 70 degrees or anything. Said it would. And then all of a sudden, a little thought comes up here. Hey, that's making you and God both look bad, all these folks dying after you're normal with oil. You know, probably what we need to do, what you need to do is, here they are. Why don't you go, here's one right here. Why don't you go write a thick book that God can't do nothing. Then you can still look good. And you won't have to repent and move over here and line up with God. In other words, when you're over here in Egypt, you want God to come over here? Come over here and line up with us, God. You see what? You see why we're trying to help you out. Come down here and cooperate with us, God. You see why we're, what we're trying to do for you. And God's just funny. He just stays right over there, doesn't he? And so now what's happening, I believe, the grace of God is having us just kind of crawl back over there. Amen? Now, he said if you're bearing fruit, he said you ask what you wish to be given. Now, why did he say that? It's because if you're bearing fruit for God, your motives are not on the lust of the flesh. Your motives are not turned to the devil. You're not trying to make a name for your carton. You're not trying to make a image for yourself. You don't have selfish ambition. It means you and the Lord Jesus are one. Your motives are the same. Ask whatever you want the town saved, ask me. You want your family saved? Ask me. I'll do anything. I'll run the whole bunch. Get in on it. My way. Covenant. Now, turn back to James 4, and we'll see the opposite of that. James 4. Did we see their disorder and every evil thing in this congregation because this wisdom, this congregation was worldly, flesh, and demonic? Because they had the jealousy and selfish ambition? They were not putting the flesh to death? Amen? Shake your head. And what we saw in 3? Well, let's look there. God goes on, He's going to solve a problem for them. Verse 4. What is the source? Verse 1. Of the quarrels and conflicts among you. Now, is that a good question? Hey, you have all this disorder and every evil thing in there. You don't know what's wrong? Well, let's go ahead and see right there. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source your what? You know what those pleasures are? Look at me. This. Selfish ambition's alive. Jealousy is alive. I mean, my is alive. That is the source of the quarrels and conflicts among you. What did it say in Acts? That all the church there were of one mind? They understood covenant. That's why they took everything they owned and throwed it up at the apostles' feet. Because they understood the dying for the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh. Do you say, have you come to the place you found anybody you want to take everything you want and throw it at her feet? Not hardly. Because, see, we'll not be seeing the things that Acts is until we start acting like them, and you won't be knowing it until you're in covenant. And then thousands a day were coming to the Lord. Well, that's not too bad evangelism while they're casting demons out of everything it moves. That's pretty good evangelism. Get them healed. Get them set free. Then they'll walk with the Lord until you get set free. All right, here it is. What's the source of these conflicts? The quarrels and conflicts among us. Not the source of your pleasures. This is your flesh. That's waging war in your what? Come alive, selfish ambition. Here they are. Come alive, jealousy. Yes, sir, Mr. Devil. At the next verse, too. You what? There it is. Lust after the flesh. You lust and you do not have. Just put in there your way. You don't have your way. Your carton's way. So you what? You commit murder in your heart. You come against him. Kill him. Throw him off the cliff. Stone him to death with words. Discredit him. So you commit murder when you don't have your way, and you are what? Envious. There's envy. And you cannot obtain your way, so you just fight and quarrel. You want things to be your envious, be your way, your carton's way, so you fight and quarrel. You're not trusting the Lord, you want it your way. Your carton's going to work out these things for God. You're coming to God with your carton, the flesh. And no flesh can please God. That works. Is that clear? You do not have because you do not ask. Where it says ask, just pray. His way. You want it your way. Your cart way. Come in here and answer my prayer, Lord. We're down here trying to make a name for ourselves. Come in here and cooperate with us, Lord. We're making a name for ourselves with our nickels, noses, and numbers. Hey, look at my ministry, God. Come down here and cooperate with me. You see what I'm trying to do for you. Satan said to Jesus, come over here and jump off this temple right here. You jump in that courtyard, they'll all see you down there. And look how you can lead them to God. Junk.
We're not leading no one anywhere. A spirit of God does it all. It's all him. Now just go ahead and decide that. Jesus is Lord.
Now, where it says right there in verse 3, you ask, will you please put pray right there? You pray. You pray. Now, this opposite of what we saw in somebody over bearing fruit and dying the flesh, wasn't it, walking in covenant? Amen? They asked whatever they wished and they received it, right? But this, you don't have the wrong money. You don't walk out the flesh and get God's cooperation. That's the reason you have to take some of these scriptures and write these books that God can't do nothing. Now, verse 3, you pray, and you do not receive because you pray with what? You have a wrong motive. You repent. Your wrong motives ain't the lust of the flesh. Your pleasures. And you have the wrong motives when you pray because you want it to spend it on your what? The pleasures, that means... Listen to me, brother and sister. That means the flesh is not dead and being put to death. And I want you to know it's been exalted and Satan's running the show. He moves in and he becomes control in the areas where the flesh is alive. Now, do you know what kind of people that is who wants to walk after the flesh and come to God after the flesh with these things in their heart? Here they are right there in verse 4. You what? About that over in Romans 7? Shake your head. You pretenders! You pretenders! You pretend obedience to God. You adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world, that was the kind of wisdom that was in there, is hostility toward God. We already saw over in Romans 8 that the flesh is hostile, the world is hostile. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, walk, talk, and act like the world, makes himself an enemy of God. Is that plain? Do you understand that? Hath God really said? You just read it. It's in that Bible you've got right in front of you. Boy, that's all I can do is just keep them going on. But I tell you, let's just continue in that chapter. I hadn't planned to. We're going to change the schedule. Let's go on and see. Now, these things, all of these things I've been reading about, there are four chapters and 13 verses before you get to James 5, 14 and 15, where you're anointed with oil and you'll be able to say, there's a bunch of things in James before you come anointed with oil. And if you're not hearing and adhering to the things in the rest of James there, you might as well quit anointed with oil. You're going to die. You can't make a name for yourself anointed with oil. See, a lot of people want anointed oil to get somebody healed so they make a name for themselves. Huh. You ever notice, brother, if you ever go and lay your hands on somebody, what? Here he comes talking to you right there. And he said, you know, they're all looking at you. And you know something? Boy, I tell you what, when this person gets healed, they go and just follow you and everything. And you say, yes, that's right, Miss Devil. And bang, the power's off. God's not going to do nothing through you. You there, just start letting a demon minister to you. All right, then the one you're praying for right there. They're praying for there. And you're praying for him. And I will show you another way it gets cut off. Okay? He's there. And demon starts talking to him. He says, you know, God do this for everybody else, but he won't do it for you. This not going to work. That's right. It ain't. Not going to get nothing. Because you're listening to the devil. You're not listening to the ministry of God. You're listening to unbelief and doubt. You won't get nothing. You sure won't. Because your heart's in agreement with the devil. You don't believe God. That's not, what kind of shield of faith is that? Okay. You know, some of these times, particularly pastors, I'm going to tell you something, pastors. They're going to be, shepherd, they're going to be some meetings. It's going to be coming up where you're going to get to sit there, particularly shepherd, where you're going to get to see folks just stand in front of you, and we'll just have meetings where you can just see, just watch them transform there. And you'll be taught all these little things that we can't get into right now, and in a short time we'll be learning from you. So we can multiply it somewhere else. That's what the body of Christ does. When you find out the enemy is not folks and the war is not after flesh, then you start learning what covenant is and being together and love one another. You find out who the enemy is, we love one another. God gives something to every part. He's given the greatest gift to the less honored members so there'd be no division in the church. I'm telling you, you're zero. You're nothing. You understand that? You understand that no one is nothing? Get free from that. That's the world. Folks are something. It's a joke. We only become something in Jesus. Now that makes me pretty important. I just want to tell you I'm pretty important. But the only reason I'm important is because of Jesus. And you're no different. I'm no different. None of us no difference. Your computer here has been filled with lies. Now, but you know what? What's the washing of the Word does is when you know the truth begins to wash out the computer. And the Word washes out the lies. So that's how you know the truth. And the truth sets you free. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, let's go on. So this person has a problem. He's trying to come to God after the flesh. He already has always said over in James 1, you double-minded, you're not going to receive anything from God. But yes, God, I've got another way to come. I'm going to come down there and I'm going to crawl around and cry a lot. So he comes down, he has a bunch of folks and just real humble and everything. And I'm going to show you that later on. Hey, he comes down and crawls around and cries. A lot of people come with him. Hey, he's annoying and he still dies. Just show you. That's the only thing I'm going to show you on that thing up there. All right, now look here. What happens? Here's how you have good soil. Do you understand that we're God? This is the land. This is the land you possess right here. So all of this comes before James 5, 14, 15, by the way. Starting in verse 6. 4, 6. James 4, 6. But he gives a greater grace. God gives grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to who? Now, look at me, folks. Did we just read about a congregation that's coming to God after the lust of their flesh? That's proud, folks! Hear me?
This concludes tape number 7. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 8, where this message continues.